Thanks for being with us this morning. I want to give you just a few announcements as you make your way back to your seats. Thank you, Lord. Just a few announcements in your bulletin to pay attention to. Due to the holiday on Tuesday, there's some changes in the office, so just pay attention to that. We'll get back into our schedule the following week with office schedules. And then a reminder, there's no service tonight. No Sunday night service, so enjoy the evening. We'll kick back with our Sunday evening service on January 6th at 6:30. I don't know why I can't ever get that time right. 6 o'clock, and so pay attention to that. A few things that we do around here that I absolutely love is that we pray for local churches, and this week we're praying for the Church of God, Church of Christ. They're there on Southway Avenue. They always have those little funny sayings out on their reader board, but that's Pastor Joel Soliday and their congregation, so we're going to pray for them. And then pray for our missionaries, and this week we're praying for Diane Peters in Paraguay. And so you don't need to know her, but she's a woman that stepped out in faith and has gone into foreign soil and is preaching the gospel. And if any of you ever feel compelled or ushered in by the nudge of the Lord to enter into the mission field, please find us. Let us find out, short term, long term. It's about taking the gospel, and each of us are called in different ways, and each of us have different gift mix. And some of you have a gift mix and a calling on your life to do missions overseas or in foreign soil. And so we want to know how to pray for you, how to support you, and then launch you out into that mission field. But for the rest of us, we are also missionaries. We are missionaries right here in our own city, in the places that we work, in the children that we're discipling, and in the neighbors that we're called to love. And so the point is to be praying for one another and praying for the gospel message to go out. Amen. Amen. Family Promise is coming up. We've announced this the last few weeks. It starts next Sunday is when our week starts. So if you can help us out, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer there, and it involves prepping a meal. It involves, if you can't do the meal, they've been taking food cards so we can bless them. But you can see Deanna, wave your hand, Deanna, over there. She's in the office. You can give her a call and find out more about Family Promise. We're going to pray for the tithe and offering. Just a note, this is the last Sunday of the month and the last Sunday of the year. So any offering that you want to get in for 2018, whether you're from Valley or from Hope, needs to be postmarked by the 31st. And so if you don't bring it in today, this morning, you have a couple days. But after that, it'll then be accredited to 2019. Can you believe that? Man. 2019. Yeah, amen. Bring it on, Lord. 2019. Thank you, Lord. So we're gonna pray over our offering this morning. And I'd like for us to all stand and just make this moment a posture of saying, Lord, we stand as blessed ones. Amen. And so I invite the ushers down. Yeah, thank you, guys. Excuse me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beauty of what we call church and what is known as church. But Lord, we also thank you that there is so much more to your kingdom. There is so much more that you want to show us and more you want to do through us. And as a posture of saying yes and amen to you, we stand before you ready, Lord. We stand ready to give of our time, talents, and treasures. We stand ready to be the missionaries called out into the mission field. We stand ready to take the cities that you've called us to take. We stand ready to go and give like we've never given before because, Lord, we long to see things we've never seen before. And so we stand ready, postured to go and be the living beings that you've called us and blessed us into being. And so, Lord, we acknowledge this morning that this is just one congregation. Actually, it's two congregations meeting in one place, but there are many congregations throughout our valley, throughout the world. And so we bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. Specifically, we pray for the Church of Christ. We bless Pastor Joel and his family. We just declare that right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that that would be a house of prayer. There'd be an intercession that goes up on behalf of your heart, on behalf of the city, on behalf of the plans and purposes you've ordained for them. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you you for our missionary, Diane Peters. We bless her in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the missionaries that have been called overseas, Lord. Those that are home getting rest and getting ready to go back. We just say in the name of Jesus, Lord, let the gospel message be the brightest light in the valley, in the region, in the world. Because, Lord, it is the only true light. And so we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the hands and the hearts that are giving this morning, that are sowing, that have given all year, that are faithful to give. Lord, let them see the abundance of blessing that you have for them as we walk out our faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Bless the ushers. Grab your Bibles. Have a seat and welcome Pastor Mike this morning.
Good morning, everyone. What's that? It's taken me 13 years, but I'm finally in Northern Idaho. I think I'm going to go kill something today. Oh, yeah, I'm skinning that thing and gutting it. And I love you people who love to hunt. God bless you, but God evolved to grocery stores. And it's already packaged, and all you have to do is go, tss. And I don't know how I got there, but I'm stepping away from that. 2019, going to be a really great year. This morning, I'm going to do my best to try to articulate, but really, I'm sharing my heart with y'all. So it might seem a little bit scattered. I'm going to try my best to connect it all together. But there is, just for a few moments, what's resonating in our heart is these two words, let's go. Let's go. Say it with me, would you? Let's go. Say it again. Let's go. Can we just give a little energy and come on like, let's go. Right? It's the God's kingdom is so needed in this valley and beyond. Our city has been in like this 1% growth for 350,000 years. I know I'm exaggerating just a little bit. I'm also recognizing, dear ones, that God has got a destiny for this valley and beyond. And the church is supposed to rise up and say, God has got a purpose and a plan. Let's go. And I'm just going to be real honest with you. You know what? Praise God that we were once the territorial capital of this area, but that was in the 1800s. What have we done lately? Celebrate what happened, but come on, let's go. There's a today. And we're also creating something that's not just for us. It's for, I believe, for our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, to the Lord Terry, that we're creating a kingdom dynamic that a new normal is being established so that our kids and our grandkids go, this is what normal church like. The deaf hear, the blind see, the lame. I mean, that this is what the normal is because we have decided, I love what Pastor Jeff just said. We are going out and we know there's something out there. We don't know exactly how to get there, but that's okay. Let's go. And there comes a point where you have to say, we plan, we strategize, yes and amen. But there comes a point where you have to go, we got to just go. And we're at that point. So let's go might mean for you that you reconcile a relationship. Let's go might mean you say it's time to get out of debt. Where you've lived in debt your whole life, you may be inherited from a family situation where your mom and dad were poor and they never learned how to manage money. Well, let's go. Let's learn how to live and steward the kingdom of God finances that you have. Let's go might mean you learn how to be a single parent. Let's go might mean you learn how to pray more or you commit yourself to study the word. Let's go might mean you say, you know what, it's time to get this temple in shape. And it's not a New Year's resolution where I say I'm going to do something. It is where we follow God's nudgings with these impressions, these things in our heart where we go, we know it's there, but I've got to take a step and say, let's go. Brian, I still got a ring, buddy. I think it's the back. Thanks, man. Hey, guys, love you. Can we say thanks to our sound team? We love you guys, man. For me, I have a verse. It's Hebrews chapter 11. If you'll turn there real quick. Hebrews 11 is my let's go verse. I love this when 1st of November, as we were sharing with both churches, this let's go resonated in our hearts. And then Pastor Jeff, I had no idea, spoke out of Mark 1 where Jesus had let us go to another place. It was just, it's just this heart of let's go that is so filling my heart. And let's go might be mean different things for each one of us. But it's time to take that step and let's go. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 is my verse. And it's my verse for 2019. And here's what it says, verse 8. By faith, say those two words with me, by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. We've got over 2,000 years of looking through the lens of Scripture, of the history of course, Abraham's a man of faith. Of course he is. But can you imagine, just picture with me, Abraham, Ur of the Chaldeans, established family in that area, polytheistic gods. He was not this holy man that God chose out. He was a man who was worshiping other gods. In the Ur of the Chaldeans, established family, and he starts packing his belongings. And can you imagine with me where his neighbors go, hey, Abraham, or Abram, I see that you're leaving. We are, we're taking off. Where are you going? Have no idea. Well, why are you leaving? Because God told me to. Okay, so which direction are you going to be heading? Don't know. I just know that we're supposed to leave. And how are you going to get there? Don't know. But we're taking off. And the Bible says that we are to emulate our father of faith, Abraham, where we are to be people that recognize that his life of faith is what our life of faith is supposed to be. And by faith, Abraham left, though he did not know where he was going. Why? Because of obedience. And one of the things the Father has taught me over and over again is that I don't have to understand something to obey it. That obedience doesn't come from, oh, I get it. Obedience comes, and I want to go with real quick to John chapter 14. Jesus tells us where obedience comes from. Obedience comes from love. Three times in John chapter 14, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And then about verse 21, he says, he who has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And then about verse 23, he says, he who has my teaching and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. You see, dear ones, obedience is not based on we get it. Obedience is based on we get him. That he loves us and we love him. Obedience comes from this relational atmosphere, this relational aspect. You see, there's three things that God is doing all the time in our lives. There's three things that are eternal. No matter what's going on to us, there's three things that God is doing in us. And it's this, he's developing faith, hope, and love. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:13 that these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? See, it's important to understand that these come together. They're not separate entities, but they tie in together. That when you know someone loves you, and when you love someone and there's an intimacy of love there, it's easier to have faith in them because of a love relationship. It's easier to walk in a hope of what they promise because you have a love foundation. And what we're doing, though it may seem risky, is only risky to the degree we don't understand his love. When we know how much he loves us, it's not risky at all. Because our faith is based not on a destination, our faith is based in a person who loves us. So Abraham, as he took off, he did not know where he was going, but he obeyed. Now understand something. As you read the scriptures, when God calls us to let's go moments, those let's go moments are, there are opportunities and challenges that we face to reveal to us areas where our hearts are not yet fully encaptured by his love. So we have Sarah. Everybody know who Sarah is? Abraham's wife. An angel comes to Abraham 25 years after a promise and said, Abraham, this time next year, Sarah's going to be holding a baby. And the Bible says that Sarah's on the inside of the tent flap and she's eavesdropping on the conversation. And when the angel says to him, you're going to have a baby, Sarah says to herself, oh yeah, I'm too old for that. It's not going to happen. It's too old. And she starts to laugh. And the angel calls her out and says, Sarah, why are you laughing? I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing. Yes, you are. Is anything impossible for God? In fact, the name Isaac means this, to laugh. He laughs. Every time, Isaac, she remembered the tent meeting. And so she said, I'm too old. Maybe you're here today and you say, man, I'm too old. That's hogwash. There's nothing in the Bible says you're too old to be used of God. You're too old. Let somebody else do it. Let that be the next generation. No way. Old people can say, let's go. And I'm getting to that point now. I've got gray in my beard. I can actually say I'm an older person now. I have an AARP card. Let's go. 10-cent coffee at McDonald's. Jeremiah the prophet, God calls him to rebuke a nation back into repentance. And what does Jeremiah says? I'm too young. I can't do it. I'm too young. I don't care if you're 12, 5, 7. I don't care. God wants to work through you and let's go. You don't have to wait till you're 20-something, 30-something for God to work through you. He wants to work through you now. And there might be some Samuels in our midst who, in the middle of the night, they hear God's voice say Samuel or John or Betty or whatever, and they call the name and they respond, and he's going, let's go, because we need a generation of young people who are willing to say, I don't know what it looks like, but I'm willing to go. Everybody okay? Moses, let's go. Read Exodus 3 and 4. Moses just keeps pushing back on God, saying, I can't. And finally he says, God, send somebody else. I can't speak too good. And God says, I'll send your brother with you. You see, when God calls us to let go, Noah, he was too angry. Gideon was too afraid. The Israelites were too small in their own sight. It was always something, because let's go moments are going to reveal in our hearts where love has not encaptured that area to where we say, let's go, instead of I can't. I don't have the education. See, it's not about what we don't have. It's about us just lovingly obeying the Father, saying, if you're calling, I'm going. And it doesn't matter what the excuse is. Obedience takes the excuse and say, I can reason my way out of it, or I can just simply love the Father enough to say, I'll go. Let's go. So by faith, Abraham left. I love this verse in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, where Paul says, nothing else matters but faith expressing itself through love. So we are taking steps of faith. Why? Because we love. Let's go. So as we move forward, there's two primary motivations in a person's life: fear and love. Fear, you can motivate people out of fear to do a lot of stuff, but fear never lasts. As God calls us to go, it's going to reveal fears where he wants to cast out that fear by his perfect love. The motivation that we're after, dear ones, is so much love that we'll do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, and trust him. So, Mike, what is June going to look like? I don't know. I don't know what June 2019 is going to look like. I don't know. We are, Pastor Jeff and I, we're spending a lot of time taking, okay, what are next steps that we can take? And we are starting to implement next steps of where we need to go. But you know what? I don't know where we're going to be in June. I have no idea. We know something's out there, but we don't know when or how or we're going to get there. We're just going because the Father called us. Let's go. I don't know what May is going to look like. I don't know what tomorrow is going to look like. I don't have no clue, but we serve a God who loves us so much that he's willing to invite us on a journey to see something happen in an area that needs the kingdom of God in a marvelous way. So maybe say, Mike, in my heart, I've got this idea. I want to pray for people and see them get well. Well, let's go. Healing rooms, join it. Learn, pray, grow. Hey, Mike, I want to learn how, let's go. Maybe you need more education. Go back to college. Let's go. What's stopping you? One of the things, just personally, one of the things the Father spoke to my wife and our heart, through a prophetess, she said, God is going to take you in a direction that you're not expecting. And she said, you're going to be involved in government. And boy, was she right. Because I'm not a big fan of government. And she said, son, you're going to be like a Joseph and a Daniel, and you're going to in government. And I went, okay, I'm not going to run for political office. But I feel like the Father wants us to come into government. So how do I get there? I don't know anybody in our government. How do I do this? So here's my let's go moment. Starting in January, I'm going to go just sit in city council meetings and pray. Now, I don't know if that's a one-time, I don't know. But let's go. Let's just see what the Father's going to do. Sitting in a city council meeting is not like on my fun magazine list. It really isn't. It's not. But Father, I've got to take a step somewhere because the word spoken is dead unless faith has action to it. So we can say, God, you want to do something in our valley. Well, faith without works is dead. It's lifeless. So we are together going by faith. Let's go. And there's two verses, or there's two books in the Bible that have always seen me through when times take place where I'm not sure what's happening. My wife and I, when we left, and our family, we left from Las Vegas. We left a church that was really one of the top 1% growing churches in the nation. And God, we loved kind of the metropolitan feel. It was kind of fun, a big city, a lot of activity. It was, and then God says, I need you to go somewhere else. We had no idea. We had no clue. We just had this feeling of there's a change coming. We talked to our pastor. Would you pray with us? And then we get a phone call. Come to Lewiston, Idaho. Where in the world is Lewiston, Idaho? I looked on a map. Do you know there was a time Lewiston was not even on a map? And this was before the Googles. So here we go. We come here, this valley, and it's like, God, I don't know if this is you or not. I'm not sure what you're, I'm not, but here's what his word says, and here's what saw us through. Psalm 32:8, listen to what the word says in Psalm 32:8. Listen to the personal pronouns that God speaks over our lives. NIV says this, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. God's commitment to your life as a heavenly Father is that he will instruct you and he will teach you in the way you should go. Instruction and teaching means you're not sure where you're supposed to go. He's going to instruct you and teach you where you're to go and how to get there. I will counsel you and I will watch over you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, another one of those verses where Solomon writes this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. When God says, let's go, what it reveals is areas of our heart we have not yet grown in trust in. And so we don't condemn ourselves. We don't shame ourselves. We just open our hearts to say, Father, I need your love to fill this capacity so that when we hear you say, let's go, there is a faith statement that I'm moving, not because I understand, but because I know you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. We're not going to be able to figure it out. Don't put all your weight on what you understand. In all your ways, and the idea of ways is as a parent, as an employee, as a worker, as a husband, as a single person, as a Christian, in every way of life, acknowledge him. And he says, I will direct your steps and make them straight. Dear ones, I don't feel like we're going to muck about trying to figure this out. I feel like as we pray and follow the Lord, he is going to direct us for the kingdom purposes he wants to establish in our valley and beyond. I'm going to give you one more verse, then I'm done. If you turn with me to John, here's another life verse for me. John chapter 16, as we're on this journey. Starting at verse 12. Jesus says, 16:12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Let me emphasize this one word, tell. He will tell you of things to come. This word tell means this: a guide who shows you, a traveler, the safest course through an unknown territory. That's where we're going. And Holy Spirit has promised, I will tell you, I will be your guide through a territory you've never been before, but I will guide you through that. I'll show you the safest place through that. Dear ones, let's go. Pray like you never prayed before. Be apart like you've never been apart before. I'm going to show you a quick video and then we're going to be done. And I am. Are we good to go to the video? Okay, now listen, this isn't a Christian video. I think this video was taking place at a concert in the Gorge in Washington State. Okay? But it's really kind of the lesson. Well, probably going to expand on it on our next teaching. So you're going to see some guys in bathing suits and no shirts on. So if that, you know, if you need to do this, okay? There's nothing inappropriate, but I want you to really watch and see how a lesson that's very biblical through an expression at a concert. So go hit the lights and then we'll close it up. Go ahead.
If you've learned a lot about leadership and making a movement, then let's watch a movement happen start to finish in under 3 minutes and dissect some lessons. First, of course, a leader needs the guts to stand alone and look ridiculous. But what he's doing is so simple, it's almost instructional. This is key. You must be easy to follow. Now here comes the first follower with a crucial role. He publicly shows everyone else how to follow. Notice how the leader embraces him as an equal. So it's not about the leader anymore. It's about them, plural. Notice how he's calling to his friends to join in. See, it takes guts to be a first follower. You stand out and you brave ridicule yourself. Being a first follower is an underappreciated form of leadership. The first follower transforms a lone nut into a leader. If the leader is the flint, the first follower is the spark that really makes the fire. Now here's the second follower. This is a turning point. It's proof the first has done well. Now it's not a lone nut and it's not two nuts. Three is a crowd and a crowd is news. A movement must be public. Make sure outsiders see more than just the leader. Everyone needs to see the followers because new followers emulate followers, not the leader. Now here come two more people, then three more immediately. Now we've got momentum. This is the tipping point and now we have a movement. As more people jump in, it's no longer risky. If they were on the fence before, there's no reason not to join in now. They won't stand out, they won't be ridiculed, and they will be part of the in crowd if they hurry. And over the next minute, you'll see the rest who prefer to stay part of the crowd, because eventually they'd be ridiculed for not joining. And ladies and gentlemen, that is how a movement is made. So let's recap what we've learned. If you are a version of the shirtless dancing guy, all alone, remember the importance of nurturing your first few followers as equals, making everything clearly about the movement, not you. Be public, be easy to follow. But the biggest lesson here, did you catch it? Leadership is over-glorified. Yes, it started with the shirtless guy, and he'll get all the credit. But you saw what really happened. It was the first follower that transformed a lone nut into a leader. There's no movement without the first follower. See, we're told that we all need to be leaders, but that would be really ineffective. The best way to make a movement, if you really care, is to courageously follow and show others how to follow. When you find a lone nut doing something great, have the guts to be the first person to stand up and join in.
Okay, I'm the only one dancing. I got two. Who's first followers? Come on. I'm not really. Who's going to be the first followers to go, yeah, we're going to go after this thing? See? Come on, Pastor Jeff. Come on up, man. Come on, Pastor Jeff. See, this idea is, yeah. I mean, it's like, it's like, no way, man. Why not? Why not? Why not be the ones who are, right? Why not? I mean, right? Yeah. We say yes. We say yes. You got a couple of nuts who love you, right?
Amen.
I don't mean to speak for you, but.
No, that's all good. I agree.
See, but this is really not about us.
Amen.
It really isn't. It's not about us. It's about us.
Thank you, Lord.
It's about us that are willing to say, let's go. Let's just go on this dance with the Father. Let's be willing to risk. And let's see God do a movement in our valley.
Amen.
And beyond.
Thank Pastor you, Lord. Jeff, you Amen. Bring? Come on. Do you honor Pastor Mike? Thank you, Lord, for the word. Good word. So as you go out this week and you prepare for the changing of the calendar and join us next Sunday, we'll have Sunday morning, Sunday night services. Be prepared. You know, one of the things that we've talked about before about Sunday service church, what we call church, is that no matter where you go, the components are the same. They might do it in a little reverse order. They might shorten their worship time and, you know, have a little bit more of a emphasis on the Eucharist or communion, but the components are all the same. We're gonna look at, Lord, what's it look like to do life together? What's it mean to let's go? And so I just want to encourage you that this is just a small expression of what God is wanting to do in our valley and beyond, right? I mean, that's really what we're talking about. And so we're going to close this way, just get you thinking. And I've said this to you before, is that we've talked about revelation, understanding, and wisdom. I think what we've added today is mystery. There's a whole realm of mystery out there. Revelation is simply the revealing of what's mysterious. And we want to stay in that posture of revelation, which means we need to stay on the doorstep of mystery, where we keep our hands open and just go, okay, Lord, we're willing to go. I love the word love, right? We're going to love. And I realize not all of us are comfortable with mystery. Not all of us are comfortable with revelation. Some of us just want to glean and operate under the wisdom of others. But if we're truly going to see what the Lord wants us to see, we have to recognize that it is on the threshold of that place between mystery and revelation. And my prayer is that you take this morning's word, you take this moment that we're going to activate the word, and go out and just start to contend and see, Lord, what does it look like? What does it look like just to step out in obedience? Amen? So one of the things that we value and one of the things that we absolutely believe in is the activation of the word. And so Pastor Mike has delivered the word, and we activate it by just saying yes and amen. So if you'd stand with me, we're going to close with just a simple activation. You saw that great video. Pastor Mike showed that to me a couple weeks ago and mentioned he was going to bring it up, and I just so loved it because it's so true of what we're seeing and need to understand, right? Leadership is sometimes overrated, but there's that first follower. And so, Lord, we agree with that. And so our simple activation this morning is just saying yes and amen. Yes and amen to the word. Yes and amen to what the Lord's been showing to you this morning. Yes and amen to what we glean off the video. And yes and amen to what the Lord is going to show you this week. And so on the count of three, can we just shout out yes and amen? One, two, three. Yes and amen. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Happy New Year.